Father in heaven, we come before you. I come before you in preparation for stepping to the sacred desk with a simple, humble plea from you, for you, from me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be yours, Lord, and yours alone. And may it be precious in your sight, for you are the Lord and King and Savior. So use me to be a blessing now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to start by telling a story. Here's a map of Alaska. There's a gentleman who I respect very much that I do believe is deceased. I'm not even sure, to be honest with you, that I've only met once personally, and his name was Mel Reese. And he was the Pacific Union Conference Stewardship Director. And Mel Reese had to travel within the confines of his territory in order to encourage people to be faithful to God. And no one, in my estimation, in all my years of experience, has ever touched me as deeply as this man. And one day he was asked to go up to the Alaska Conference, which is part of the Pacific Union, and he flew in to Anchorage, Alaska, and attended meetings there. But a couple days later, he was assigned to come to the Aleutian Islands, where he had to meet with a small group of missionaries that were located approximately there from King Salmon, the town of King Salmon, in a very desolate area. And he tells an incredible story of how when the meetings were over, one of the natives said to him, "Now we want to honor you by taking you to one of our sacred sites." "Oh yeah, what's that?" Well, they explained it to Mel. He says, "Okay, I like things like that. This is of great interest to me. When are we leaving? How do we get there? How long will it take?" "Well, we're going to leave right away. And it won't take long, but we're going to walk there." And by the way, he said in this story that he soon found out not long doesn't mean anything. Maybe it's because they have sun for a period of time all day, 24 hours a day. I don't know. They started walking on the beach in an area that was windswept and sandy, and all of a sudden, on the beach, he saw something he had never seen before. And he ran out to grab that object, and sure enough, it turned up to be one of those Japanese glass floats that they use for fishing to float nets. And he grabbed that thing, and he looked at it. He asked the native, "What is this?" "Oh, this be one of, you know, those fishing things. They sweep up on the shore, and people come all the time and try to collect these. And that's very nice. You can have that." "Yes," he said, "I want this. I want to take this home." And he looked, you know, and he thought, "But I don't want to carry it on this trip," because he had to walk a long way down the beach. They still weren't there yet. He looked around, and it was just sand. There was no... And he said, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm looking for a place to hide this." He said, "Give that to me." And so the native grabbed it, and he walked up the beach a little ways above the tidal line, and he put it right in the sand, and then he took a stick and he drew a line around it, just like that. And he said, "What are you doing?" He said, I'm saving this for you." No, "I don't want to lose this. I want to take this home. And so you can't put it right there. Everybody can see it." He said, "No, it's okay. Nobody's going to take it." He said, "What do you mean nobody's going to take it?" He said, "I drew a line around." "So you drew a line around. What does that mean?" "Well, you see, we have a principle in our culture that if you come along and you see an object on the beach that you desire, but there's a circle around it, it means no belong me. And so no one will touch it." And Mel said, "Wait a minute. Hold on now. I'm having a hard time with this. I really want this. I want to take it home. I'm not kidding. It'll be there. It'll be there. Are you sure it'll be there?" "No, it'll be there. No belong me." Drew a line around it that tells everybody comes up, "No belong me. Don't touch." And Mel Reese thought, this is not the way it is where I come from. And he went many miles down that beach, saw the sacred site and came back. And when he arrived, guess what? It was sitting right there because the people of that culture understood, this doesn't belong to me. I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Let me share with you with great anticipation and excitement what God has asked me to share with you, even at this very time in which we're living, these tough economic times that are facing all of us. And by the way, if you didn't catch Dee's testimony clearly, this woman was going through such major crisis simultaneously, which includes losing a house, financial disaster over medical bills, a divorce, as well as her breast cancer. And yet that woman was able to hold it together because of Jesus Christ. And so we're looking now in this tough economic time at no belong me. Malachi 3 verse 7, even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from mine ordinances, said the Lord, and have not kept them. Therefore, return to me, O Israel, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say to me, wherein shall we return? By the way, you get that? Wherein shall we return? That means clueless. You know? Did you get that? They're saying, okay, return to you. We didn't know we were gone from you, Lord. And so they say, look what they say in verse 8. This is incredible. They say, wherein shall we return? Okay, good question, right? They find out from the Lord that for some reason they're separated and they're not really assured of this and in agreement with it, but okay, just tell us wherein. How can we get back with you? And then the Lord says this, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say again, wherein have we robbed you? And God answers, in tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. And so they got their answer, as startled as they were. And what a statement to be asked as a people. Will a man rob God? Who here is going to rob God? Raise your hand if you're ready to rob God. Tell me. My hand is not up. I am not going to rob God. But evidently Israel was robbing God. And so, the question is, what is tithes and offerings? For if we don't want to rob God, we've got to understand what He was accusing the Israelites of doing. Will a man rob God? The answer, of course, is no. But you've robbed me. What do you mean we've robbed you? You've robbed me in tithes and offerings. Well, first of all, a tithe is a tenth. I'm assuming you know that. A tenth, meaning that whatever you make in your occupation, whether you're still on a high economic level or because of the recession and because of the economy, you're making much less. A tenth of that does not belong to you. God has drawn a circle around that tithe, that ten. Did you hear me? Who drew the line? Did Peter Neary draw the line? Did the elders of the church, did the deacons, did the deaconesses draw that line? No. The treasurer of the church? Fred, did you draw that line? It said, God drew a line around that and said, a tenth is mine. That's what a tithe is. And what is an offering? An offering in both the Greek and Hebrew is a present, a gift as a tribute. Notice they weren't just robbing him in tithe, they were also robbing him in offering, the two of them. So, the question now is, why does God require tithes and offering from His people? I can't wait to do this. Because I don't care what you've heard before, I want to startle you today that it may be a whole different set of reasons that you never thought of to see why this is so important and why God would put on my heart so clearly that this needs to be preached right now today, not waiting a week or next month, in spite of the situation of many of us in this congregation. Why does God require a tithe and an offering? Number one, He wants us to remember what? We are not the owners. We are not the owners. And let me facilitate this quickly by just showing you Psalms 25. Look what it says. And by the way, this is a psalm of who? Of David. And David was a man after God's own heart. How did we get to that one? Hold on here. There. We skipped somehow. A psalm of David. Here's what he said. The earth is the... And the fullness thereof, the... And they that... In it. Okay. The earth belongs to who? And the fullness of it. You know what that means? That means that Peter Neary really doesn't technically own anything, not even the shirt on my back or the suit. By the way, Christians are told that if necessary, you give them away. How can the Bible require that? Because it is understanding that we understand as Christians, this doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And if He chooses to give this to somebody, I just hope it's in a situation where I've got other clothes to wear. Because my call is to give it. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and the world and they that dwell in it. Now this word Lord is Jehovah in the Hebrew, and it means the existing one. See, I got to tell you this so there's no confusion on who's saying this. The Lord is saying this. Who's the Lord? The existing one, the eternal one. This is the proper Old Testament name for the one true God, Jehovah. But look at what the New Testament tells us, by the way, so that you see who this real owner is. And they said, believe, read this with me, Acts 16:31. Believe, and they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's that word Lord now in the New Testament Greek instead of the Old Testament Hebrew. What is the meaning of this Greek word translated in your Bible, Lord, which is kyrios in the Greek? It means what? Supremacy. Supreme in authority. He to whom a person or a thing what? Belongs, the what? The owner, Jesus Christ. And so we see that God has instituted the tithe and the offering so that His people will remember who the Lord is and not be fearful for the future because this Lord died for us. By the way, if somebody's willing to die for us, don't you think that's a pretty extreme price to pay to show loyalty, love, and faithfulness? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. And so He does this so that we remember. He wants us to remember who the Creator is, who the Lord is, to not get mixed up, no matter how successful you may be. Number two, not only are we not the owner, but it's to develop our character. And by the way, I renamed this. it suddenly dawned on me, and just this morning it dawned on me, that this is to prepare us for the last days, to develop our character. Now look at that picture. Who's in that picture? And where's Eve? And what's she looking at? Okay, did you know that Adam and Eve were also required to pay a tithe? Did you know that? What was the tithe they were required to pay? The tree of knowledge of good and evil. God said, this one tree right here is mine. I drew a line around it. You get all the rest of the trees. Now, folks, any of you ever live near some of these beautiful housing projects or these estates that have these gates that you have to enter in and long driveways, and you get to the estate house and it's huge, and off to the side or in the back hidden somewhere may be a small house, and in there are the servants or the guests. That God takes the entire world to Adam and Eve and says, now all of this is yours, but this one tree is mine. Isn't that a little backwards? Come on. Adam and Eve, I want you to have a character that grows throughout eternity. So I'm going to put this tree here to test your faithfulness. And you can have all the rest. But I drew a line around this tree, no belong me. That when you see that circle, it no belong me. It says, and the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree in the garden you mayest eat, freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat it therein, thou shalt surely die. When you see that circle, Adam and Eve, it means no belong you. It belongs to me. Now I'm going to ask you a question. You ready? You're either Eve or you're Adam. And you're in the garden. And God says to you, you see this tree? Don't touch it. All the rest you can have, but not this tree. How many of you here would touch that tree? I'm the only one. Oh, there's another honest person. There's another honest person. Oh, more honest people. No, I'm not suggesting that I would have touched that tree. I just raised my hand because I said, raise your hand. I'm very obedient. My wife has trained me well. Okay, now I'm going to... This God gave me this. I've never done this before, but I'm going to do it now. Those of you who did not raise your hand, are you paying a faithful tithe? If you are not paying a faithful tithe, then I want you to know you have touched that tree. Because the same loving God that died on Calvary's cross drew a circle around one stinking tree. And He said, you get all the rest. There's billions of them. You can't have this one. And let me tell you, who in their right mind would own the universe and say to me, just give me a tenth, you can have 90%. Would we not think that's pretty generous? If you did not raise your hand and you're not returning a faithful tithe to God or giving an offering on a regular basis, you are touching the tree. Why? Wherein have we turned away from you and robbed you, God, in tithes and offering? Because you're saying what Adam and Eve said. We don't believe God can take care of us. We're going to try it our own way. Didn't Satan say, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be as smart as God? And they didn't trust God's word, and they tested to see if it was true. Why am I doing this in this hard economic time? I'm getting to it, folks. It is time we trust our God and Savior Jesus, no matter how it hurts us. I want my people, I want my life and my family, including my two boys, that whenever they get money in their hand, the first thing they think of is, now let's see how much of this belongs to God and how much of this can I give to the church. And by the way, giving to the church may only be a dollar of that, okay? But it's still always thought of instantaneously. Why? Because all the universe is watching. Do these people really believe that God is who He says He is? Do they really believe that He can take care of them no matter what circumstances they're facing? And they're sitting there going, come on, there's got to be somebody. Please, stand up for our Lord and Savior Jesus who we watched die on the cross of Calvary. You and I have only been told about it. They watched the whole stinking process. And they were going, Father, let me go down there now. Please let me go down there. Give me permission. I want to wipe out those people. They don't deserve to have mercy. Just let go of me right now. The Father said, no, I can't give you permission. Stay your course. Trust me. Jesus has to die so that my people down on earth who are deceived and fool and weak and sick and faulty and erring have another chance to live with me for eternity, because every one of them are my children and I want all of my children in the fold. And so we're given a test that every time we get money, we are showing whether we really believe God and take Him at His word or not. Number three, not only is it because we're not owner, not only is it because we're developing our characters or we're preparing for the last days, but number three, it protects us from selfishness. Every time. You know, folks, I got to tell you, there's times I've gotten a check and thought, man, if I didn't pay a tithe, then I go, stop it. You're the minister. By the way, that's not a good enough motivation. The truth is I'm a Christian, right? That's why I should do it, not because I'm a minister. But I sure better do what I preach. We're all in trouble if I don't. And I think of what it would be like. And then I realize, I go, man, Lord, all these years You and I have been partners. You have never failed me. You've even bailed me out of embarrassing situations in which I was sure that I would look like an idiot. And here I am down at this point in our relationship, and I'm thinking about what I could do with this money to benefit me. And Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary not thinking about Himself at all. This is to protect us from our selfishness. We're confronted every time we get money with what our characters are really like and what God implemented in order to protect us. In fact, I could show you, but I don't have the time today. The truth is that selfishness leads to idolatry, which leads to self-destruction. That's called suicide. That's what the Bible says. I'll show you the link to those later. I don't have time now. Self-destruction is suicide, especially if you're an informed Christian and you're acting in a way contrary to whatever God's requirement is. You're actually participating in the act of committing suicide. God instituted tithes and offerings to protect us from our selfishness. Notice this, that beautiful little book, Steps to Christ. Don't you just love that book? Look what it says. The warfare against, okay, more people. The warfare against is the greatest battle that was ever fought. The yielding of self, surrender all to the will of God, requires a, I should have put that in yellow, struggle. Requires a struggle. But the soul must submit to God before it can be renewed in holiness. And this can't happen unless you're aware of your character. And so God implemented the tithes and offering to bring back to our remembrance our tendencies so that we have a hedge against selfishness. Selfishness. And then there's number four. God did this, folks. I wonder if you really believe this. God did this so you can witness a regular miracle. Yeah, it is true. Jenny and I go, how in the world does 9/10 of our salary go farther than 10/10? And how many of you could I call up right now to the pulpit that could stand here and testify to what happened to you after you started paying tithe? How God has blessed. I know, it's just incredible. Folks, listen to this. The world doesn't understand this. And the world dictates something entirely different. And it has crept into all levels of the church, even in our educational system. But the wisest man in the world, before he went haywire, led by the Spirit, clearly said, there is one who scatters. And yet what? Increases more. Boy, wait till you hear this. And there is one who withholds more than is right. Notice how good God is. He says more. He doesn't say all of it. He qualifies it to impact us. This person doesn't just withhold all of it, but he only withholds some of that. But he says, but it leads to what? Poverty. Do we really believe God? If we do and we put Him to the test, in fact, it says in Malachi, test me in this and see if not, I will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing on you that cannot be understood. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Man, Fred, I can't wait. Get ready, Fred. Get out of your seat, Fred. But in Corinthians it says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. By the way, I'm going to make an announcement. Here it is. If you are grudgingly writing your tithe to this church, please don't give it to this church. Why? It's not blessed. It's not blessed. Do you think any pastor would tell his congregation that? I am. I want to go on principle. By the way, I love preaching because now I'm really in the corner here. You're going to look at me more carefully and go, is this guy doing all this stuff? And I go, I better. And you're holding me accountable. And God told me to hold you accountable. This idea that half of the people in our church used to tithe and now we're down to 30%. By the way, I say our church, I'm talking about worldwide, not just here. I thought, Lord, we got to stem the tide. We're telling the other worlds who are watching us that our God can't provide unless we intervene, take things in our own hands, and work it out the way the world has trained and taught us to do it. Am I right? I am. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Fred, will you come up here, Fred? Please. Fred's going to share something with you that I guarantee will bring this home to all of us. Listen to this.
How many of you enjoyed the convocation last weekend? Raise your right hand.
I did.
Oh, there was a lot of people who attended this time. My story is what happened last weekend. Personally, I was blessed over the weekend. Last weekend, for the church, it was a great financial blessing. Last Friday evening, I got here about maybe about 6:15. I was standing in the lobby with my son. When I come here on Wednesdays and Fridays, I check the box. Inside that one Joa's box, as well as the box outside in the lobby. When I opened that box, it was full of envelopes. There were 17 envelopes there, full of cash. I will tell you the amount later. But I will take this opportunity as your treasurer of this church. I thank you very, very much for your faithfulness of your tithes and offerings.
Yes, amen.
When I opened those envelopes, I opened one and I saw $100 bills. So I took it all, put it in our room, and I was looking for the pastor.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I was talking to the pastor, I got a couple of words of it. Pastor Sean Bunstra came. So, and then they went to the office, and I went to the room and checked all the envelopes. And I told Lenny that as soon as the pastor is available, tell him to come here. And then finally he came, and he asked me, how much do you think we have on those envelopes? And my first calculation was maybe 25, 30,000, I said. But I come to think it over again. But I have two envelopes over here, and it's already $9,000. Out of those 17 envelopes, there were $16,500. If the donor is here in the congregation, because those envelopes are anonymous. And I would like to respect the donor by not speculating who it is. He wants to become anonymous, and we should leave it as that. There were $61,500 for offering. That money stays here at the church. He seems like he knows the financial condition of the church. We just lost our Sunday rental. And this is a great encouragement for me. It's an great encouragement for the pastors and the elders when I had shared it to them. For me, it's a miracle. One thing more I want to mention is he marked some of the envelopes. And then when I was tallying it up, one of the accounts is worthy student fund. And then the last board meeting, next school year, we won't have enough to help our students. We have something like $12,000 left, and we usually have something like $30,000 in that account, more than $30,000. Now the school is almost over, and you know what the donor donated on that account? About $22,000. And by the end of this school year, we started with $30,000-something in that account. And at the end of the school year, we started with $30,000-something in that account. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, now let me tell you what ministers do. Ministers that say, Neri, you didn't tell your congregation that, did you? Oh, yeah, I did. Why did you tell them? Because now they'll stop giving, thinking everything's all right. I said, not my congregation. Why not? Because they now give on principle. Anybody here want to lose a miracle that happens every time you give to the church? Anybody here want to quit getting a hedge against selfishness? Anybody here want to claim you're the owner instead of God? You see? God replaced that whole budget for us because we liberally gave. We literally saw God's principle go to work. Folks, He is blessing us. And we've got to be more faithful no matter how bad it is. God has to come first. Now, take a look at this. Here's Peter near the tithe envelope, my address. If you've ever saw it before. When Jenny and I get our checks, the first thing we do is we take out our tithe. Okay? That's the first thing we do. And then the next thing we do is we take out our offering. By the way, I just indiscriminately put numbers there for your visual aid. That's not... Okay? So the first thing we do is we separate our tithe. The second thing we do is our offering. And let me tell you something, if you never heard this, is the greatest principle. With your wife and or husband and or children or by yourself, you are literally to ask God, besides my tithe, which I must return to you, it belongs to you, it doesn't belong to me, how much do you want me to give every single paycheck to the church? Why? Tithe goes for the ministry, but it doesn't go for the lights. Offering goes for the lights and the water. And you should have a specified amount, because you always know what your tithe is, right? Unless you get a raise or unless you get a reduction, then you lower your tithe. But have you ever been told that you're to take a certain amount at God's discretion? He'll guide you that every single paycheck, first comes your tithe, then comes your offering. And if you have additional money, you can... This thing is acting really funny. I'm having a hard time here. Okay, notice the mortgage. I wrote in the word mortgage. I gave some money to the mortgage. Notice the North American division has a special offering every month. I gave some money to the North American division. Notice the world budget has special offerings every month. That's going somewhere. I put a little money in there. And this time, Jenny and I thought we should do something for 13 Sabbath. And then we put the total, we put our tithe in the envelope, close it up, and give it at church. And by the way, if you don't put your tithe down in that envelope and just put it in the plate, it will be used for offering because we didn't know it was tithe. Do you understand that by me telling you this, the church may get less money? I want you to get God's cut in there. And the only way it'll be noted is if it's in the tithe envelope, specified how much, so that goes to the conference office for the ministry around the world, not just here in Las Vegas and Nevada. But the church has to pay its bills. Now, where does 3ABN, it is written, all the amazing facts come in? They come in, according to the Bible, after you're done with your tithe and offering. Those are special sacrificial offerings you choose to give, but not instead of your offering to the church. Never, never. But don't ever let me tell you that you can't give to some other ministry if God's moving. Just don't take it from your local church. Take it from your recreation fund. Why? Because the church runs on a regular basis in your behalf for this community, and we must maintain that. And so, folks, I plead with you. I want to live on principle. And I already told you, you can see there's times when my little characters weaken. And God will show me that I'm thinking something that I didn't even know was there. And God instituted these things to protect us so we will be ready for heaven. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for the challenge of this hour, as well as, Lord, the blessing you have given to our church. We praise you and we thank you for honoring us the way you have. And we ask you to teach us now how to honor you in return so that the heavenly host can see an example of those who really want to make Jesus look good, even if it costs them some sacrifices. So bless each one here. Let decisions be made, Father. They don't have to tell anybody what they were or weren't doing. But may they do it, because what matters is what heaven knows, not what Peter Neary knows, not what Fred knows, not what the elders or anybody else knows. So bless us now so that we can be more like You. And Lord, now bless the offering that will be taken up at this time by the deacons. May this money that is collected go to honor and glorify and increase Your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This is a digital recording for optimum sound quality. International copyright 2010. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.